In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't just love us generally, He loves us individually, and He cares for us individually, and so He deals with us differently, not because He is discriminating against any of us, but because we have different needs. In the Gospels, if you compare the various miracles of Christ, you see that there are very few similarities between one and the next in terms of exactly how He dealt with people. In some cases, He healed people who didn't even ask to be healed. In other cases, He was asked by someone to be healed, and He went ahead and did it immediately. But in other cases, He made people wait a bit. And that's what happened in the gospel reading today with the two blind men that we read about. Christ had just raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, and no doubt word of this miracle was spreading very quickly, but when he left the house, he was heading back to his home in Capernaum, and these two blind men got word of this, and they began to shout and to follow him, saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And this is one of these kinds of details that when you're reading it, you might miss the first time you read it, or even the tenth time you read it, if you're not paying careful attention. But there's no mention that Christ turned around or engaged them. He just kept walking. And they kept following. And they kept saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And keep in mind that these were blind men, so their ability to follow someone would have been difficult. They would have been probably asking someone to lead them. At the very least, they would have had to ask someone to point them the way, but it would have been very difficult. Finally, Christ comes to the house, which was probably St. Peter's house in the Gospels in Capernaum. When it talks about the house, that's usually the house that's being referred to. And they aren't daunted by the fact that Christ enters into this house and hasn't said a word to them yet. They follow him into the house. Christ knows what they need, so he doesn't ask them, "What are you asking for me to do?" The question that he asks them is, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" So he's already put their faith to the test by making them wait, making them follow him. But now he's asking this question not because he didn't know what was in their hearts, but he wanted them to take a moment to ponder whether in fact they had the faith to believe that he was able to do this and what that would mean. And they answered him and they said, "Yes, Lord." Then we're told that Christ touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And immediately their eyes were opened and they could see. Christ obviously saw that this need for patience and for persistence was something that these people needed, not so that their eyes could be opened, because they couldn't do that no matter what they did. That required Christ's touch. But so that they could come to know God better and come closer to Him, they needed to learn this lesson. If we always got what we asked for, as soon as we asked for it, we would have very little appreciation for what we received. As a matter of fact, we tend to value things that we have to work really hard for, and we tend to not value things that we get for nothing. And often, if we got everything that we asked for, we would be getting things that would ultimately be to our destruction, because we don't really know what's for our good. Often we think that we know what we need, but God knows for sure, because Christ is the physician of our souls. He knows exactly what needs to be done for the cure of our spiritual diseases, and often the cure is unpleasant, but he knows what we need, and he knows exactly how to apply that spiritual therapy to us. In the Gospel of Luke, there's a parable that teaches us about our need for persistence in terms of asking things from God. It says, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.'" To understand what this parable is talking about, you need to understand a few things about the culture and the time. Obviously, they didn't have cell phones or anything like that, so a traveler couldn't call ahead and say, "Hey, GPS says I'll be there around midnight, so you can be prepared for my arrival." And often, particularly in the warmer times of the year, people tended to travel late in the day because they wanted to avoid the heat of the day. So it was not uncommon for people to arrive at night. But when people arrived, there might not have been any word in advance that they were coming at all. But in Middle Eastern culture then and now to a large extent, hospitality was seen as a sacred duty. And it was something that if you didn't provide it, it was a great shame upon you. And this was true even in American culture once upon a time. I've read stories about people who were traveling because they were moving out west. And when you were doing that, you didn't know what you were going to encounter. You didn't know where you'd be able to stay. But if you saw that there was a house up ahead and it was getting late in the day, you would stop there and ask if you could be given some hospitality by these people. And people felt that it was a duty, and there are stories of people who were obviously in such poverty that they could barely feed themselves, but when people would come, they felt this obligation to provide hospitality to such an extent that they might kill the last chicken that they had and serve it up to their guests. And so often guests, if they saw that the house was a poor house, they would try to move on to the next one rather than to impose on people who weren't able to do it. But in this culture, this man who had these guests coming at midnight would feel an obligation not just to open up the door and say, go ahead and go to sleep. He would know that they would be hungry and they wouldn't have had any ability to provide a proper meal for themselves while they were on the road. And so he would have felt an obligation to provide it. And so he goes to his neighbor because he doesn't have any bread. This was obviously not a wealthy man. And he knocks on the door. And Middle Eastern cultures at that time, during the day, the door would usually be left open. And you could come into somebody's house or you could go out. But when they shut the door, that was an indication that they were down for the night and they didn't want to be disturbed. And so you would only knock if it was an emergency. But this would have been an emergency because you would have had no face, to use a Chinese expression, if you had not provided hospitality for guests that came. And so this person felt this great need, knocked on the door, and what's the answer that he gets? The answer from the person inside is, "Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee." And what this is referring to is most people in those days, in that time in the culture, they lived in a one-bedroom house. It wasn't necessarily that there was one big master bed like you might be thinking with all these kids in there. They would all have been sleeping on the floor, but they were all sleeping in the same room. And so to get up and to give this man what he was asking for would have meant to have disturbed the entire family, and he just didn't want to do it. But Christ says, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." The point is that if even such a person who couldn't be bothered by his friend at an inconvenient hour will eventually be prevailed upon by persistence and importunity, then all the more is it true of God, who has no desire to just make us suffer. He's more than willing to give us what it is that we're asking for, but God knows what we need, and often what we think we need and what we really need are not necessarily the same thing. God never sleeps, he's never weary, he never runs out of things, and so there's never any occasion where God is reluctant to give us something just because he's being stingy. But we have a need to have patience, and it's not just a patience that resigns itself to the fact that they can't do anything about the time that it's going to have to wait, so you're just sitting there tapping your toes, waiting for the time to fly until you finally get what it is that you're waiting for. But it's a patience that struggles, that endures, because it's in this struggle that we have when we're waiting that God is able to cleanse our souls, to get us focused on him, to really see who it is that we need to see as our source, and to learn to receive those things from him. Because to receive grace, we have to open up our hearts. God's not going to just knock us over the head and give it to us. We have to open up our hearts to receive it. And this is the process that God uses to get our hearts open. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Amen.